with some ruckus music, which was included in one of my favorite shows recently, which is called Underplayed, which you guys both co-curated. Why don't you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, ma'am. Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, well, the show's title, like you said, Zephyr, is Underplayed. The subtitle is a mixtape of music videos. So Julio and I conceived of the show as a mixtape of different videos on one compilation DVD that you can go into the gallery and watch in a wonderfully created lounge environment by Seattle-based architect Q Che. He made this beautiful viewing capsule with headphones that you could go and lounge, hang out on, and with a remote, choose the different music videos to watch. So it's a fun show. There are 15 different tracks on it, just like a mixtape that you would make and give to someone. And there's lots of different music on it, from punk rock to jazz, to more experimental stuff, like more kind of noisy experiments,
like electro rock from Mexico and so on. And one of the bases for the exhibition is really looking at the phenomena of artists collaborating formally and informally with musicians. So roughly maybe half of the videos are collaborations where the artists are commissioned to do music videos for these bands. And the other half is informal videos where people just take it upon themselves to appropriate the music and create their own video for it because they're fans of the music or they really want to extend the audio into a visual element. And then I think the other component is also artists who are musicians as well and creating the video and the music themselves as well as performing.
One of the things that I was most smitten with the show, I think, is the great breadth that you guys encompassed as far as videos. I mean, you had some definitely very ambient, kind of abstract videos with just kind of flashing mellow lights, and then you went all the way to, the dirtiest aspect of an Avenue D video where there was a quite graphic sexual talk about doing it every which way.
In public bathrooms.
Right, in public bathrooms. Yeah, on film. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Did you try to make it as varied as possible? Did that just end up how your musical taste ended up? What were some of your thinking about curating that?
I think I definitely wanted a diverse mix. I don't know. I'm sure everyone here has made a mixtape, and on that mixtape, there's probably lots of different types of songs that you put on it. So I really wanted to sample different genres and, different moods and different auras in the videos. And I think it's really great to have that jazz track on there too, the Nina Simone, because a lot of the videos on in the show are kind of rowdy and are really loud, and some of are ambient. And that Nina Simone video called Heartaches and Toothaches, it's by New York-based artist Kimberly Olujimi, is really quite sad and very touching and really soulful, and it matches the song in that way.
Right, and again, it's almost like if you're on a dance floor and you're dancing, you need a little breather or a little break, and so basically we kind of created the mixed videos in that sense that, there's some really high energy and then there's a little bit of downtime and then it picks up again. So essentially we really planned that out, and I think maybe, in a way, that was actually the easiest part, was actually figuring out the sequence of things, because it was actually a lot harder going through material and different artists, even though we would love a video, but we couldn't really show it because it didn't work with everything else that we were trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where we took the curatorial liberty of putting them in a certain order,
exactly.
Different 15 tracks. And actually, I was a little worried about that. As a curator, you always wonder, and Julio, you're an artist as well, so maybe it's easier for you to strike this balance, but I was wondering, how much of a liberty can you really take with the artwork and how you showcase it? But in this case, I think it worked really well, even though we superimpose the order on these different tracks.
Right.
I think the artists were really happy with the way, with the sequence that we had set out.
Right, and they always knew that it was going to be this kind of mix, and so we actually lost a couple of videos because they wanted them to be the artists that we chose initially, wanted them to be standalone pieces, and they're like, no, you can't have it in a mix. So.
And actually, the mixtape idea really came out of a limitation, mm-hmm. because we were limited in how much space we had, so we couldn't have 15 different projections for 15 different videos. And so that's how that's, you know, right. It's funny how you can turn your limitations into pluses, you know, positive
right.
aspects, and I think that's, we did that pretty resourcefully.
Yeah. And we also gave a little bit of freedom to the audience in which design that Q created, the listening pod, and viewing pod, I should say, you know, you sit there and you get to choose the sequence of the videos yourself. There's a remote control there. And then opposite of that is the computer setup.
Can you talk about that? As we did more and more research, we realized, well, you know, we're just taking a little sampling of the whole landscape of cultural production of music videos, so why not give people a sense of just how much stuff there is out there and give people a bit of the opportunity to go in there and select their own music videos. So I wanted to put like databases where you could access thousands of different videos and music videos online, and so we came up with the idea of creating a YouTube account. So we actually have a YouTube account for Underplayed that's right. set on this computer that's part of the viewing capsule, and people can go on. I'll give people the name and the account sure. password, so people can go on actually on their own. Yeah, I'm about to. People can go on YouTube and they can access. I think it's called Underplayed YBCA, and that's all one word, and the password is Underplayed, and they could add their own content onto this account, and right. so people can go into the gallery, access this account, and view
so
all this content.
Yeah, they have one addition to the exhibition. I mean, it adds more diversity to it.
One of the things that struck me as well about the exhibit is that the primary way to experience it was on beanbag, I believe. On your back, on a beanbag.
Right.
Whose idea was that?
I think that was Baron.
That was my idea. And actually...
It almost didn't make it.
We almost mixed the beanbags, because the beanbags actually ended up being much bigger than how I'd envisioned them to be. And
there was a different color, too.
Yeah, and they didn't have beans in them. They had more like polyfiber fill in them, and they were kind of misshapen.
But it worked out, actually, in the end.
Yeah, but in the end, you know, we consulted together, and we decided to go with benches, but then we consulted with the architect, Q, and Q actually liked the bean bags, and he didn't think they interfered with his viewing capsule, so they stayed.
How much do you think that actually affects whether people watch the show or not? I mean, people can only really stand so long, and only like to stand, you know, probably for about 5 minutes or so if there's somebody else laying at their feet. They're obviously wanting to stand around. So it was an intentional choice that you guys made to...
Yeah, I think so. You know, I actually created a project a while ago at the Young Museum that was based on how long people really look at art. So essentially it's between 30 seconds and 5 minutes. So that's why I don't know if you need beanbag, but you know the videos actually, the combination of videos is an hour and 15 minutes. So I think it helps. And you know, there's people in the pod for at least 45 minutes, same person there.
How long do you look at art? Really?
It depends how much I engage. I'm pretty fast, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your average time through the moment?
Well, it depends on what kind of exhibition there is there. But, okay, I'll take... I haven't seen it, but it'll probably take me 10 minutes.
Well, it's funny, I can't remember who told me this, but someone described the two different ways of looking at art, one of them being like a cricket or a grasshopper, where you hop from one piece to the next, the other one being like an ant, where you crawl along the wall and you look at every single thing and read every single label thoroughly. And I'm definitely not a hopper. I'm more of a crawler. And so I spend a lot of time looking at everything and reading all the wall text just because, well, I mean, that's my profession. I'm a curator, so I'm really curious about how labels have been written. And I'm really interested in the details. Yeah, exactly, and taking notes. Yeah. So I'm definitely more of an ant.
I do spend more time on videos, though.
Yeah?
Love videos, yeah.
What were some of your guys' feelings about it? I mean, have you talked about doing other things than videos, or was that just the whole initial project?
No, I mean, there was an exhibition that I curated at Queens Nails Annex called Queremos Rock, and that was looking at the cultural phenomena of this punk rock swap meet called El Chopo. That's been around for about 25 years, and it's a place where you buy pirated material and song lyrics translated to Spanish. And so it's this community space. It's been around for about 25 years, and it's really important because the average Mexican makes $10 a day, and it costs $10 to buy a new CD, and you can come to this place and buy a pirated one for a dollar. So essentially that show sprung our collaboration with this exhibition.
Mm-hmm. What was the split on who curated what?
It was 50-50.
Yeah, it was 50-50.
There are actually 16 projects total because there's kind of an intro installation before you enter the gallery that has the mixtape. And I love that piece. It's a piece, a collaboration between Thurston Moore and Marco Fusinato. And so including that, there are 16 projects, and I brought 8 projects in, and you brought 8, so it was totally 50-50. But we both had to agree on each selection, and I think we both brought selections in to the mix that the other person didn't agree with that we nixed in the end.
Well, let's talk about some of the videos, because I think those are definitely the stars of the show.
Well, I was just commenting to Baron, for the opening we had Camilo Lara, who is Instituto del Sonido Mexicano, and he actually came to play for the opening with Alejandro from Plastilina Mosh. And so we commissioned some artists from Mexico to create a video for Instituto, and this was unauthorized, and so essentially he loved the video so much when he came to see the exhibition that he told me last night that he wants to use it officially as his video for his song from his CD.
That's the best success story from the whole show.
Yeah, so from unofficial to official.
Yeah, and he had no idea that we were going to have a video in the show that sampled his music.
Exactly, it was a surprise. And I'm glad he liked it.
Oh, yeah.
There's also another range of like official collaborations, like for example, Maria Daniela y su sonido láser, Mexico City pop electronic band, and the artist Miguel Calderon created the video for her, and it was a super low budget video that he created for $400, and right now it's like an MTV Latino like top 10. So it's really funny because I think Baron and I were talking about that, in which artists sort of subversing mainstream media and utilizing different, you know, more artistic practices that are sneaking into this kind of a new aesthetic quality.
But then those practices are being introduced into the mainstream as well. So in the end, they're infecting the mainstream, and they're changing the mainstream in a positive way, I think.
Okay. Speaking of mainstream, you included 2 videos of like probably the most, I would say the most epic rock song ever written, pretty much across the board. People would say, you know, I personally know myself, but Way to Heaven, and what, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, those are as big of guns as you get in the rock world. And tell us a little bit about those videos. I mean, I think definitely listeners can identify with those songs, no?
Sure. Well, I could talk about the Stairway to Heaven.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about
Bohemian Rhapsody? Yes. Hoi, do you remember Hoi Doin Su? Did I say that right? Singaporean artist, and he created this amazing video based on Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. And what's important about that song is it's from 1975, and it's one of the first music videos created to promote albums. And so essentially it's one of the first videos, and it was interesting that we found this guy who created his own rendition of it, in which he used non-actors and sort of retold the story of Bohemian Rhapsody almost like in a half-spoken word. It was almost like an Asian soap opera, and it was really beautifully done. And in the middle, there's a little bit of music and heavy metal bliss and heaven, and it's so good. I just can't stop talking about it.
Yeah, no, that was definitely one of the favorites in the show, I think. A lot of people commented on that piece. It is quite epic, actually, very fitting to the song itself. The other project that you mentioned is this Dutch artist, Jeroen Offerman, taught himself how to sing Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven backwards, and his motivation, and it's an 8.5-minute song. It's a really long song, so it's pretty fun.
There's thrills in there, too. It's not just singing.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
he
you did a really good time. Imitation. Yeah, he definitely he imitates Robert Plant's voice really nicely. He taught himself how to sing the song backwards because he, and he's really making a statement here, he was raised in a really religious household, And you know, there is this myth in the 60s and 70s about how if you played the lyrics of certain rock songs backwards, there'd be all the satanic
messages.
Content, yeah.
And so when he was 15, he went to the basement of his friend's house, and there's a group of teenagers listening to this, and they're all highly religious, so that after they listened to it backwards, they thought they were cursed for life. So, you know, I don't know how many years it took him to sort of unlearn that. So I think part of the process for that was him learning the song backwards. So when you watch the video, it's actually, he sings it backwards, but it's being played forward. Is that correct?
No, he sings it backwards, mm-hmm. and then he records it forwards, but he plays the recording backwards to make this double negative that then makes it positive. So it appears as though he's singing it forwards, but it's slightly off kilter. And then he sings it on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, you know, this Catholic bastion, you know. Yes. You see all these people walking around in the background, and they're walking backwards. So it's really, it's a very strange video, but it's quite touching. And I love the expressions on his face. He looks like he's exerting so much energy, and it's almost somewhat pained, you know, like he's suffering while he's singing the song.
Yeah, I think he said it took him 3 years to learn it completely backwards and to the right key and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. Apparently he comes to different museums and different art centers and different... He performs the piece backwards as well. And I'm so sorry that we were unable to bring him out for that performance, but maybe someday we can actually see that performance.
What's another artist that actually did get to travel out for the show was Frankie B. Was it Frankie B or just Frankie?
Frankie Martin.
Martin, sorry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her? I hear she had instant fake poop on hand.
She did.
No wonder no one wanted to dance with her.
Yeah, it smelled like poo and everything.
Okay.
It's really...
Well, she's a great example of an artist that also is a musician. So and creates her own videos and her own music and performs it. So, and she performed for the opening as well.
She did. Yeah, there are a couple of projects in the show where the artists did everything. You know, they're performers, they're songwriters, they wrote the song themselves, they performed the song themselves, they made all the costumes for the songs, they did the background animations, everything from scratch. It's a complete, you know, they're the artistic directors as well as the actors, everything. And Frankie's project was one of them, and she wrote the song called Esto Es Que Tú Quieres. Did I say that right?
I think so. I think that's it.
Is this what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a raunchy video. And
raunchy, hip-hop, reggaeton.
Yeah, she's kind of
homemade video. Yeah.
Uh-huh. She's this white girl who raps. And
from Milwaukee.
Yeah, from Milwaukee. And she's hilarious. And so she performed the same song that was on the music video at Yerba Buena. And
with a video with the background dancers.
Right.
And graphics.
And fake poo.
Yes.
It was very interesting.
So, I mean, have you guys collaborated before? Is this your first project? Do you guys have future plans together?
The future plans would be to continue traveling the exhibition, which we're working on. But this is, this is the start of collaboration.
Yeah. You know, what would be really fun is, you know, telling people about this mixtape, but then giving them the option to add maybe a couple of their own tracks to it.
Well, exactly. Every time that it travels, they pick up 4 new videos, or 3. 3 is a good number.
Exactly. And the mixtape grows.
And then they have different artists come and perform, like Stairway to Heaven's Backwards would be great.
It would be. No, it's been a really fun process of collaborating, and, you know, if I had the option, I'd love to collaborate with you again, Julio.
You've been
great to work with.
Aw, I'm going to cry. Thank you both so much for being on. That's about all the time we have. This is Neighborhood Public Radio. My name is Zephyr, and this show is called Frank Prattle. I've been on with Baron Gallimou from Yerba Buena Center for the Arts and Julio Morales from Queensnail's Annex, artist, curator, traveler, extraordinaire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.